couple people help me with the communion, and we will partake. Paul told us very specifically in the Bible, he said there's only one reason. There's only one reason that Christians are sick and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. There's a lot of false teaching about this. You know, they say that if you take this unworthily, you'll bring damnation unto yourself. That had me on my knees every time communion come by. I was asking God to forgive me. If I would have just shut up a little bit and listened to him, he'd have said, I already did forgive you. Now discern the body of Christ. So to discern the body of Christ, we're going to see Jesus in this bread. This bread was made specifically by God's directions. There's no yeast in this bread. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And there was no sin in Jesus' body. None. This bread also has been beaten. He was beaten and bruised for us. All the way through his passion, he was beaten and bruised. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes we were healed. This bread has been pierced. Certainly when Jesus was on the cross, a Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side. He was pierced there, but he was pierced several other places where he shed his blood, and we got redemption in some area from that. And this bread is slightly burned. When Jesus was on the cross, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment that was meant for us was laid on him. Now we can stand in God's presence because of the blood of Jesus and what he did as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His body was broken, and we're taking this for our well-being, our healing, and health. Jesus' blood was shed all over the place. It was not by accident. It was on purpose. God had this sacrifice planned for thousands of years before Jesus got here. And it's by his blood that we have been redeemed. It's by his blood that we are forgiven and our sins have been remitted. That means washed away. And it's by his blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we can go boldly into the throne room of grace because of what Jesus did, and we can receive mercy and help in times of need. And we are protected by the blood of Christ. His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. So we gladly partake of everything you've given us, Father. Have their full attention. I didn't say get up and go. Simon didn't say something. Okay, I guess. Oh, she's got something fun, doesn't she? All right. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Did anybody have any fun finding out about the 16 things Jesus did when he said it is finished? There was a lot of stuff there, but it's kind of fun, you know. And you can go back on the website and go back there and re-listen to all those if you want. Pete posts them every message we do. He posts them on the website, and we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, you know. So we hear something that strikes our curiosity. We should go back there and listen to it again, you know, and listen to it again and get it in our hearts. See, we're planting God's seed in our hearts when we do that, and that's going to produce fruit in your life. Did you know you have the ability to design your life? your life isn't just by happenstance. It didn't just happen. You know, you're planting seeds, and God created your heart in such a way that it's a super seed growing machine. You know? Now, here's the thing. If you plant an apple seed in the ground, you're not going to get corn, are you? If you plant cucumber seeds, you're not going to get squash. And here's another interesting thing. You never, ever hear the soil saying, you know, you plant an apple seed and that soil spit it back out and say, I only grow corn seed. That soil is going to grow whatever seed gets planted in that ground. Now you can plant good seeds or you can plant bad seeds into your heart. But it's going to be your choice, and it's going to be with the words of your mouth on what kind of seeds you plant into your heart. If you want good things to happen into your life, plant good seeds into your heart. Sometimes people just don't pay any attention to this, and they continually plant bad seeds into their heart, and they get bad circumstances in their life. And then they wonder what happened. They planted that harvest. Sometimes they worked on it for years. But they planted those seeds into their heart, and they produced a bad crop. You know? It doesn't matter where you are in life. You can change the words of your mouth, and you can expect a positive outcome. It may take a little while to get the train wreck stopped. I don't know if you've noticed anything about trains. They're heavy. And when they're going full blast, that conductor hits the brakes. It takes a little while to get the train stopped. Sometimes in people's lives, it takes us a little while to get the wreck stopped. But go ahead and hit the brakes. By the words of your mouth, start changing what you've been saying and start saying the positive things out of the Word of God to get your life turned around. Amen? Okay, let me get over there to Luke chapter 4, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. You've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us. Show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we are able to look into your word and grow from it as it gets into our hearts and takes root and starts producing fruit in your kingdom. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, get on my glasses. I only need them when I need to see. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now here's a curious thing. People will say that and they say, well, that's in red. Jesus said that, so he's talking about himself. And sure enough, he was talking about himself. He certainly was. Because the Spirit of the Lord did come upon Jesus, come down out of heaven and landed on Jesus and anointed him. And he went out and started preaching the gospel, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It's also talking about you as a born-again believer. When you get born again, you become a righteous man. Just like Jesus. Jesus was a righteous man before he got to the water. You know, he lived by faith because God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." We know in the Bible it says that it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know that Jesus lived by faith. He didn't make any mistakes. He lived by faith, and he was pleasing in God's eyes. When you get born again, you find yourself in those same shoes. Sometimes it's hard to imagine, but that's the way it is. God is pleased with you. You're his child. You're blessed and highly favored. Now, the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that when you also, that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, as a result of that, you follow in Jesus' footsteps and you go to the water. You can get water baptized, and then you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then go get water baptized. Or you can get them both at the same time. Whatever you believe for, you can get it. But the thing is, here we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, did you notice it didn't say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me so I can swing off the chandeliers? If I roll around on the floor and act crazy? No. There's too many people running around chasing the goosey, bumpy feeling, the emotional uplift of everything, but they're not receiving the reality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to power you up, to tool you up, so that you can go out into the mission field and minister to the people around you. They could be at the gas station, they could be at the grocery store, they could be at the bank, they could be wherever you happen to be. Wherever you happen to be, you'll be anointed to preach the gospel. Amen. Sometimes people just don't realize the reality of the Holy Spirit. He is here. He's personal. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is with every person on the face of this earth? He's with every person on the face of this earth. Because without Him, nobody could get born again. Now, when somebody gets born again, He moves in. See, not everybody has the Holy Spirit inside of him. Then when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He comes upon you and He anoints you. You get covered over with Him. I want to read you something kind of fun. Turn over to Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 6. You ever heard of Gideon? You've heard of Gideon's Bibles before, haven't you? Well, there's a reason that they come up with Gideon's Bibles. They had a guy named Gideon. He was an interesting guy. Israel was in a lot of trouble. The Midianites were ransacking them. Israel made a mistake. They sinned. And because of that, their defenses were down. And the Midianites were moving in on them. They were destroying their crops. They were stealing all their food. They were doing all these things, and they were in real serious, they were in a bad way. But right here in Judges chapter 6, verse 5 says, they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Every single day of our lives, we're faced with choices. We have choices. The Bible tells us, choose this day life or death. And it's an open book test. He says, choose life. How do we choose life? By choosing right. I heard a number on the amount of choices that we get to make every single day, and it's an insane number. You don't even think about it. But every step, you got a choice to make. You can choose right, or you can choose wrong. And there's blessings attached, and there's consequences with wrong choices. Sometimes people continually make wrong choices and then they blame God. It's not God doing it to you. You should know that you can't sit on your butt and eat Twinkies all day long and watch soap operas all day long and drink beer all day long and think it's going to work out well for you. It won't work that way. You got to put the moo-moo away, put the bonbons away, and get up and go exercise a little bit. Get out there, get some fresh air. Put your hand to something so God can bless that. Yeah? You have a choice. Now here's the thing. We're blessed to live in America. We're very blessed to live in America. We have a constitution. And because we have these civil liberties, we have the right to the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And those civil liberties are protected by the Constitution of the United States. Now there's people that are running around saying that we're being held down by somebody. That's a lie that they bought into. I can tell you firsthand that I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I was from the wrong family. I was from the wrong this, the wrong that. You know, everything about me was wrong. I bought into that lie. You know, and then I didn't have a high school education, and people said, you can't be a successful person. You can't do this because you don't have enough money. You can't do that. You don't have the education. You can't do this because you're not right for that. You can't do that. And I bought all these lies. I internalized all these lies, and I had all these excuses on why I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. See, I wasn't born again, and I didn't know nothing. But then I found the truth, and I found out in God's Word, where God said, the Bible says that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. And then I just added another part of another verse to it. It says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. See, I got born again, and I started finding out some stuff. I started finding out that these things that these people had told me all my life, that these teachers said, you're just going to be a failure. Preachers said, you're going to go to hell. Well, that was the truth. I had one foot in the fire for a while there. I was pretty convinced of it. But they could have said, you know, here's how you don't go to hell. They could have told me about Jesus. But here's the thing. We have these choices. We can believe the report of the world, of the scientists, of the doctors, of the teachers, of the people around us, or we can believe the Word of God. Choose you this day which one you're going to choose, life or death. Well, I thought, man, all these guys, they don't ever have anything good to say about me. Why would I believe them? God has some pretty good things to say about me. I think I'll try this. I'll give this a shot. Nothing else worked. So I started this, and it started working. Right here in verse 10, they didn't obey the voice of God. They didn't do what he said to do. And then all this other stuff started happening to him. Not good stuff. Now let's look at verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah that pertained unto Josh, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So here's Gideon. He's hiding out. Can you blame him, really? I mean, the Midianites are in there destroying everything, and he's trying to make a living, but he's got to hide to do it. So he's hiding behind the winepress, threshing this wheat, trying to make a living. Can you imagine? You know, here he is, hiding out. There's an oppressive army in the land. They're destroying everything they come into. And this angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." He's hiding. And here's this angel saying, "Hey, the Lord's with you, you mighty man of valor." Well, that would make you scratch your head, wouldn't it? You're hiding from your enemies, and here's God saying, "You're a mighty man of valor." Really? And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite." The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you?" That's kind of getting your calling changed. You know, he went from being a wheat farmer to a mighty deliverer all of a sudden. But you got to get a hold of this now. God's talking to him. He's changing him. This guy's been in hiding for a while, and now God's calling him something that he hasn't been able to visualize. You know, he's going from hiding to being a mighty man of valor. God's calling him this. This happens to everybody. Everybody that gets born again goes through this. He said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor." Here come the excuses now. "Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." There's people that live by this. "You don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand where I come from. You don't understand who my family is. You don't understand I don't have an education. You don't understand my skin color. You don't understand this. You don't understand that. I don't care what you think I don't understand. What you don't understand is the truth. The truth." You know, Dr. Ben Carson, he's one of my heroes. Actually, his mom. She could not read. She could not read. But she got a library card. And she made her son read 2 books a week. This uneducated woman, who obviously was in a depressed area, oppressed circumstances, didn't buy into all this stuff. Maybe she couldn't get it for herself, but she could get it for her kid. She didn't buy into all this nonsense. You know that there had to be people around her saying, "You can't do this. You can't raise it. Your kid's not even going to graduate high school." But she didn't buy into that. She made her kid read 2 books a week, and she raised a brain surgeon. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter your education level. What matters is the truth. And if you get a hold of the truth, you can rise above all of that stuff. But you have to choose this day which one you're going to follow. The words of man or the words of God? Look down here, verse 16. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. You know, the Bible tells us that we walk not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. There is just times in your life where you're going to have to not look at all the circumstances. You're not going to be looking at the problems. You're not going to be looking at the challenges. You're just going to have to look at the answer, and His name is Jesus. When we focus on Him and not the storm, we'll walk through the wind and the waves. When we focus on Him, we win. But it's going to be our choosing. God did not make a whole bunch of little robots. And He just kind of twists the dial and we go this way or that way. That's not it. He gave us free wills. And He told us to choose which one you're going to do. Amen. Choose right. He gave us an open book. It's the Bible. We can choose His way. That's life. Or you can pick up a tabloid from the store and choose that. Or the newspaper. I irritated a whole bunch of teachers one time because I was at the school where they were at graduation and they wanted me to speak, and I said, don't believe everything that you ever been taught. They looked at me kind of funny and I said, man did not come from a monkey. What you're going to have to find out is the Word of God is the truth, and the truth outweighs the facts. The truth will rule over the facts of life. There was a fact that the Midianites were swarming over the land that Gideon lived in, and that the armies of Israel were defenseless against it, and that everything was just a mess, and everybody was oppressed. There was a famine in the land. People were in trouble. And Gideon was hiding out, and all of a sudden this angel said, hey, you mighty man of valor. And God said, don't fear. I'm with you. I'm with you. We went through the excuses that Gideon had. Everybody comes up with excuses why they can't do something. But the truth is that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. You don't have to have all the answers. I don't know. This is over 20 years ago. I was leaned up against the bar, and there was this wild girl that was hanging around there, and she was trying to hustle me a little bit, and my business partner was with me, and we were talking back and forth and everything, and all of a sudden he said, what do you think you're going to do? And I said, I don't know. I think I'm going to get out of the horse business and become a preacher. He said, I don't see it. Well, I don't know where that came from. I mean, to this day, I couldn't even believe I said that, huh? And he said, I don't see it. I said, yeah, neither do I. Man. You know, it wasn't long after that I stopped doing what I was doing and it became a preacher. That's weird. That's God. He had things he wanted to get done. I couldn't see me doing that. Gideon couldn't see him doing that. Gideon started throwing excuses, and I told God, "Are you? You remember my past? Did you realize this is me you're talking to?" I said, "I'm born again. I know that, but holy smokes! Who's going to listen to me?" Sometimes it just doesn't make sense sometimes, but it doesn't have to, and you don't have to have all the answers. You're going to let the Spirit of the Lord do it. Amen? He's the one doing it. He'll put a team together. He'll help you put a team together. One thing I want you to see, verse 34, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he said, "All right, you guys need a target, here I am." So he decided he was going to be the anointed man that God made him to be. He left his excuses. He said, "I don't care if I came from a poor family. I don't care if I'm the youngest, weakest one in the family. I don't care. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do what God said I'm going to do." Sometimes you just got to do that. God calls you to something, you're going to have to say, "Okay, I can't figure it out. I don't care about any qualifications. I don't care about any special talent. I'm going to just rely on the Spirit of God. And we're going to see where this thing goes." You know? Look here to chapter 7, verse 2. "The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me." So all these people had gathered around Gideon. God said, "That's too big army." Yeah, I mean, there's an adage that says there's strength in numbers, safety in numbers. So you got to sit there and think, oh, Gideon must have been feeling somewhat comforted when everybody showed up. So yeah, we'll go with you. Okay. I'm not out there by myself. That's going to be a help. We'll go down to verse 3. "Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people 22,000, and the remained 10,000. Well, that's 22,000 people just left out of 30,000. That's 2/3 of your army, and they just chickened out. But we still got 10,000 we can lean on. Still got some hope. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down under the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So he brought people down to the water. Lord said unto Gideon, "Everyone that laps water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shall you set by himself. Likewise, every one that bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300. But all the rest of the people bowed upon their knees and drank water like a dog." You can imagine Gideon sitting there seeing all these people lapping water up. Come on, guys, pick up your game. Get up. Get up. He called them out there. Made another calling of the army. So it's not looking real good for Gideon. But what Gideon didn't understand is the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. That's what you have to understand. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, it's going to be Him doing the works. Yeah, we'll have to go out there. We'll have to face some things. We'll have to face some circumstances and some challenges. But it's still God that's doing the work. Yeah. That way, when we get out there in an impossible situation, where it's impossible for us to do it with our own strength, our own talent, and our own finances, but the job still gets done, everybody's going to look at that and say, that is the grace of God. God gets the glory. Amen? How many impossible situations did we face when we were building this parsonage? Lots of them. Lots of them. But God met every single need all the way through. People would just call out of the blue. People would just show up off the street. People would just send money in there, and we just had money to build the thing with. Amen? The only time we ever had any challenge was when people got in fear and locked down and said no. That's when everything stopped. When we got back in faith, it took back off and didn't look back. Amen? Now, God got His army trimmed down to where He needed it. Just a handful. He didn't want them to say it was by our might, it was by our power that we deliver ourselves. He got down there to verse 13. He told Gideon was come. Behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midianites, came unto a tent and smote it, and it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Josh, a man of Israel, for into his hand has God delivered the Midianites and all the hosts. There was one man there that had a vision from God. You know, visions are still real. Visions still exist. People can still have visions. Just be careful whose vision you're listening to. You know, there's some guys running around that are smoking some of the wrong kind of stuff, and they have visions too. You need to not take heed to those visions. Take heed of the visions of God. People that will pray in the Spirit and pray and set time off to themselves to be with God and let His Spirit minister to them. They have visions. They have quality visions. You know, the church would be good to heed this vision. This building over here next door is where we're going to be having church. We're going to keep meeting people. We're going to keep inviting people. We're going to keep getting people born again. And we're going to end up having to move over there because there won't be enough room in here. You need to get that vision. You need to stop remembering how it's always been. And not look at the impossibilities, but look to the Spirit of God and let Him do His work and grow the church. We need to go out there and take up our ministry and do what the Spirit of the Lord has led us to do and witness to people. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that God has done for us. Father, just like Gideon, we too, with the Spirit of the Lord upon us, can do great things through you. It brings glory to you. Jesus said, whatsoever we shall ask in his name. That's what he would do. So when we go out into the ministry field, which is at that door, because of the Spirit of the Lord, we are more than able to accomplish the things that you desire us to. Just like Gideon, we'll get the victory. And it will bring glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cake back here in fellowship. And I invite you to come back and visit a little bit and meet new people. Amen.